Coastal Cafe. I'm Aaron Barnett, your host today. Coastal Cafe is a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the University of Washington's College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM. Today, we are honored to have on Coastal Cafe, Port of Port Townsend Executive Director, Aaron Berg. Aaron has been with the port for a short amount of time, and he comes here from the city of Cedar Woolley, where he was the city supervisor, I believe. Is that correct, Aaron? Welcome.
That's right.
So how long have you been at the port now?
Well, I started on March 16th of 2020, so just a couple weeks away from my first year.
Mm-hmm. How has your organization dealt with the COVID pandemic? What kind of changes have you guys made?
Well, so day one last year on March 16th, 2020, was the day that the port closed to the public. So that was kind of my first official action as the brand new executive director, was to close and lock the doors and put up a sign, sorry, closed to the public. Mm-hmm. Definitely not what I imagined in coming here. So the port's done pretty well, really. Much of what we do is outdoors. We've got a number of different office locations where many of us work in individual offices. So some of the challenges that other organizations have faced have been, I think, a little bit easier for us to address than them. But we are still closed to the public. The Port Commission's still meeting via Zoom. And we do quite a few meetings just during the week internally via Zoom as well. And for marina and yard tenants and customers of the yard, they're served from a window, and they stand outside and get walk-up service rather than coming into the office.
Like a counter with a screen on the front, and they don't even really go into the office anymore. They just somebody opens a window and they exchange what they need to exchange that way.
Yeah, well, and we've pushed more of that type of document exchange online as well. So people can download fillable PDFs, sign documents, mm-hmm. make payments, those sorts of things via the internet and avoid that contact.
In the press lately, there's been some news on some of the anticipated changes and planning that you guys are looking at. Would you mind going into some of the details on what's coming down the road and what's happening now as far as the breakwaters, dock replacement, and you can just start wherever you want, wherever you feel comfortable with.
Well, there's a lot going on. So the Port of Port Townsend, now getting close to its 100th year, having been formed in 1924, has a lot of infrastructure that stretches across the county, and much of it now many, many decades old. So probably top of our list of priorities is to keep the Point Hudson Jetty project on track. And we are feeling pretty confident about $7 million worth of funding from the Economic Development Administration, from the U.S. government. We're working with them to kind of take a preliminary letter of a selection to the actual grant contract stage where it's committed funds. We're also working with the state legislature right now on a capital request for a couple more $1 million to support what has become about a $15 million project to replace both sides of that jetty. So status-wise, the project's going through permitting, and the port hired last winter a director of capital projects and port engineer, Mike Love, who's mm-hmm. been spending many, many hours understanding the project, understanding the history and the needs, and really working closely on what will be necessary to get from the current level of design to a permitted, fully designed, biddable, and buildable project. Well, I guess I should say really clearly, you know, what he's working on is a jetty that will look very much like the jetty that's there with mm-hmm. modern materials. Just so there's no uncertainty about the design intent. Timeline-wise, though, we are leaving the door open to the potential of a project yet this year. So we're not leasing or renting all of the marina spaces and RV park spaces on the north side. Mike is thinking that that may be a perfect place to kind of get to know this project and build what seems to be the easier to build side first, and then take those lessons learned and apply them to the south side following year. So it just depends on, everything's got to line up pretty much perfectly for a fall 2021 construction window. You know, that is aligning the funding, the permitting, the bidding process, the fish window, the wooden boat festival. I mean, there's just a whole lot of factors that have to line up. It's like a Rubik's Cube to get it all to come together. But that may be exactly what happens yet this fall. And if not, then we would plan to do the same thing next year.
Are you at any liberty to describe some of the design features of what will be replacing the existing jetty at Point Hudson?
Yeah, I think there's actually quite a bit of detail on the port's website. So if somebody's interested in learning more, they can navigate over to our Point Hudson planning page, where we've got historical reports in detail, as well as the most recent design thoughts and presentations that have been given on it. But the design fundamentally will be a steel batter pile design that is filled with rock, and on the south side includes a walkway.
So like you said, it won't look much different. It'll have a place for water to get in there and habitat to be created. Is that along the lines of what you're talking about?
Yeah, so the existing design is that, except to delete the steel pile and insert creosote pile. Mm-hmm. And because the existing jetty was built in or around 1936 and rehabbed 30 years later and again 30 years after mm-hmm. that, there's two or three layers and therefore hundreds of creosote piling. So the idea here is really there would be just a single layer of pile that are kind of webbed together with cabling or some other method of attachment. And then again, the rock in between. And I think the rock is definitely does provide some creature places, but is really intended to address the wave action and attenuate that so mm-hmm. the waves don't make it into the marina and make that a more comfortable place to stay.
So the rocks, the way they're set up, actually do absorb energy and shock and do serve in that purpose as well as just keeping out general waves and weather.
Yeah, that's my understanding. Yeah. And the new jetty is intended to assume a rising sea, mm-hmm. so not necessarily a lot taller, but will be designed recognizing that there will be more overtopping events in the coming decades. And if mm-hmm. If you're in a Point Hudson Marina now during a good windstorm with wave action, I think it's pretty clear that the jetties as they exist today don't attenuate those waves like they once did. Yeah. And if you look closely, you can see where the rocks have kind of shifted down and maybe fallen out. And there's just a lot of light visible when you look through that jetty. It's clearly in need of some tune-up work.
That's a good way to put it. So I understand that creosote is illegal to use, so that all has to be removed, and then the steel pilings or what the steel material goes in.
What's
legal now?
So the creosote is definitely frowned upon for, I think, what would be all the obvious reasons. And so we're anticipating as part of the permitting process that one of the environmental pluses of this project is that all of that creosote does get pulled out of Port Townsend Bay and Admiralty Inlet. And by replacing it with steel, you just don't have the negative impacts that creosote has on mm-hmm. some of the sea creatures.
Where are we at with the breakwater at the Boat Haven?
Yeah, so Boat Haven breakwater was damaged, I think it's now been a few years ago, mm-hmm. and this breakwater was built in two pieces. So an original section that if you were looking out at the U.S. Coast Guard building and just imagine that projected right across from that point, now this is where my directional failure just becomes ever so obvious, but I believe that's kind of easterly from the Coast Guard building. That was originally built for the first Boat Haven, kind of the commercial basin, the fishing basin, I think was also back in the 30s. Mm-hmm. And it's designed with a kind of a wood structure filled with sand and then covered in rock. That's where the damage was. The majority of the Boat Haven breakwater was constructed in the 60s with the addition and is in far better shape. So I think we're looking at an approach that potentially could allow us to repair and maintain this breakwater above the ordinary high water mark and therefore not require the same level of permitting, fish windows, and potential hurdles. The big challenge there is how do you get onto it in order to affect that type of maintenance? and repair work. So it's not an imminent project in the same way as the Point Hudson jetty is. It's definitely being worked on, and we do perceive risk, particularly of that older section of breakwater. But Point Hudson's really the focus at the moment.
And how about Quilcene? I know that's sort of like often seen as sort of the bad stepchild of the port that no one wants to think about. So what's happening down at Quilcene that you can comment on?
Yeah, so Quilcene, definitely not the fair-haired or the red-headed stepchild, although I have certainly heard some folks in District 3 express that exact same sentiment. You know, what we're doing there is really threefold. We are definitely engaged in ongoing maintenance, more so than the port has in recent past. So we own it. We're going to maintain it and have it look and function to its highest performance as it's currently configured. Two, the commission has asked for a planning process to authentically engage the community in Quilcene and find out kind of what they'd like to see out of the Herb Beck Marina facility, which encompasses really, at least in the port planning documents, that's the name for the whole port property out there, the uplands, the leased property, yacht club, everything, marina, boat launches. And so that process is going to kick off here in the next couple of months. Definitely there'll be some challenges in the COVID environment, but we're imagining at least a survey tool to get started as a way to reach out and hear from members of the community about priorities. We'll then be working with the commission on that information and kind of tying it to port capacity and, you know, trying to find that magic path forward of how to reinvigorate the Quilcene property in a way that meets the community's needs and serves some of their vision for the future and also fits the port's bottom line. And I'm anticipating that investment in the infrastructure in Quilcene will start happening then in the 2022, kind of 2023, 2024 time period, with 22 being maybe a design year. 2023 will be a perfect opportunity for port to apply to the Recreation and Conservation Organization for support, for example, for replacing the boat launches, if that's what the community wants, and then, you know, really getting out there and doing some construction in 24.
So do you envision any reconfiguration of the moorage footprint that's that makes up the docks?
Boy, if this was still in the 50s, when I believe that's when Quilcene was acquired and developed by the port, then I would have a highly fertile imagination. But given the regulatory environment of the 2020s, I don't think there's any reconfiguration likely of the marina facilities. You know, maybe right. The boat launch where so the port actually has two boat launches in Quilcene, one closer to the yacht club, one within the marina itself. And the question might be, you know, which one makes the most sense? Would a two-lane launch with handling float make sense? And then where? I think there'll be a big question that'll need to be addressed is, will the port continue to dredge the marina to accommodate deeper keeled boats, or might the future hold a marina with shallower draft boats? Is there room for some RV activity or other camping opportunities? And, you know, what to do with property like the Quilcene Yacht Club building that's currently on a month-to-month lease, or might be year-to-year at this point, but, you know, available for reimagination if there's something else there the community might like to do. So there are definitely some options, but there are some real limitations too, including a really long-term lease to Coast. But on the positive side, a whole bunch of jobs created in the 3rd District at Coast Operation.
I see. If you're just joining us, this is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. I'm Aaron Barnett, today's host of Coastal Cafe. And we're speaking with the executive director of the Port of Port Townsend, Aaron Berg. So, Aaron, a few years ago, there was some discussion about the legacy and ongoing contamination of the parking lots and the boatyard facilities, and talk of how to deal with the surface, you know, and the wind blowing these contaminants into the water, and whether to scrape off the top feet of the dirt, put down asphalt, things like that. Has there been any discussions lately on the boatyard surface area issue?
Yeah, so the whole boatyard operates under a boatyard general permit for stormwater from Department of Ecology, and we are actually in the process right now of renewing that permit. So that application has gone in. At the same time, we've I think been learning a lot about our stormwater system here. So the material now is really all gravel, and what the port has done in the last few years has installed some treatment units, as well as invest, I think it's got to be close to a few $100,000 now in gravel for resurfacing. And what we're really tracking are, copper and zinc, and I think to some extent, some turbidity, to ensure we're not discharging into the waters of the state, muddy water or anything of that nature. But it's a pretty complex system we have, actually, with multiple treatment options in multiple locations, each with their own method of treatment. And that's something that we're getting quite a lesson as to what's necessary to maintain that system effectively and ensure that we are, in fact, treating the water and meeting all of the requirements under the permit. In terms of kind of what's next, there's two layers there. One being clearly we have to comply with the permit, since the permit is what allows the boatyard to exist and create all the jobs that it does in the community. Two, any future imagination, it really opens the door to this whole question of climate change and sea level rise. And if we were to, for example, resurface the yard, how long would that work? How do we address potential sea level rise? But our near-term plan is to continue to work with the system we have. We've got about $90,000 in this year's budget to do more regraveling. And the purpose of that is really to keep any of the old copper and zinc that's already in the dirt from migrating to the water. So it kind of keeps it in place. And we're continuing to tweak and adjust our stormwater units and our testing to ensure that what we're doing is working with those units. So there may be some potential addition of settling tanks or modifications to the system to allow for essentially a flocculation chamber, where we would introduce Kytha sand and allow that to mix and drop particulates out of the solution before it then goes through the sand filter and is then discharged into the waters of the state. But that's part of what we're looking at, is just kind of keeping creative and ensuring that we can keep up with rain events as they come. The other thing we're doing in the yard this year is replacing some of our main stormwater pumps, which are old and they're so rusty that they almost look like an artist's rendition of what was once a stormwater pump.
Well, as a former pump person myself in engineering, pumps are a good place to start. I work with ports all over the state, and I constantly hear of the challenges that they have of the very issue that you just mentioned. So I can say you're not alone.
Well, these pumps sit in a well that has downstream saltwater intrusion on a daily basis. So if the check valve, if you will, if that's not functioning properly, they're just bathed in saltwater. And that is not a recipe for a long-lived pump.
So you mentioned sea level rise. Do you are you comfortable talking in detail about some of the things you're looking at, how the port is going to deal with sea level rise down the road?
Probably not in terms of any real detail. The task is just so huge, and you know, you start to imagine a Port Townsend waterfront with a you know, some number of feet of water. You know, how do you plan for that? Is it a total relocation? Is it seawalls a la Venice? I mean, they're just, it strikes me as one of those really big items where we're all going to have to come together and get pretty creative to figure out, you know, what happens. So in terms of port plans, we don't have any concrete plans. What we have is an awareness that there is a very real danger and problem looming on the horizon. And at least when we're working on projects, we're building into those that recognition. So, for example, the jetty at Point Hudson, you know, specifically including a design intent to address that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, things like the yard, you know, locations like the yard, it just strikes me as much more problematic to imagine the work we're doing today in an environment with several feet of water over it.
Well, my agency is NOAA, and NOAA is at the forefront of working with coastal community to deal with sea level rise, and they're all in the same position. You know, I mean, how do you imagine, you know, what's coming down the road? Some places it's a little bit easier, but by and large, your comments are spot on. You know, it's just such a huge task. So I want to ask you, is there anything that you would like to talk about here while you have this opportunity?
Probably just reflecting on kind of my first year here, I think I'd be remiss not to
wonderful
just express some real appreciation. I've found several things. One, a community that seems to genuinely love its port and the port properties and port amenities. I've been really, really pleased at the support that people have shown me personally. I'll never forget, you know, partway through last summer, the guy pulled up into the marina parking lot, rolled down his window. You know, "Are you the new port director?" I'm thinking, "Oh boy, yeah, that's me." He goes, "Well, are you happy?" "Yeah, I'm enjoying it." "Great, we're 100% behind you." And then whoosh, off he goes. And he wasn't the only one. So I really, really felt like for all of the challenges that we have at the port, we have a huge wind in our sails in the form of the community and its clear support, both that I've heard personally, but also at the ballot box with the Industrial Development District levy and the funds that are supplied to us. It just seems like a really exciting time to be here. And so, yeah, I think that would be important for me to share. It's really a big thank you to the community and to the port staff team and all of our tenants that who've shown me such a kind welcome to Port Townsend.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, you have a great staff down there. I work with some of them myself. I just wanted to ask you about the Industrial Development District.
Yeah.
What is that? I heard that in the past, but I'm not sure exactly what that means.
Yeah, so ports in Washington State have the ability to levy an Industrial Development District levy. And this levy can be issued three times in a port's lifespan. Port of Port Townsend did one, I think it was about, I could be off on the time, I think it's about 30 years ago. And then the commission intended to put one out here in 2019. And for the first time, actually it was 1960, was the first IDD levy for the Port of Port Townsend. So 2019 was going to be levy number two. And for the first time in port history, an IDD levy was, signatures were gathered, which triggered a vote. And the voters passed it. And so what the Industrial Development District levy does is there's a bit of a formula to the math, but it essentially generates a certain amount of money over a defined time period to invest in projects. For Port of Port Townsend in the 60s, it was infrastructure improvement. For 2019, you know, same concept. And the list of projects is pretty broad, but it includes support, for example, for the Point Hudson Jetty. It includes the work that we're going to do in Quilcene. Really anything that supports the port mission, creating jobs, IDD levy can support, I think, in its most classic imagined form. When the legislature created it, the idea is that an IDD levy is how you would build, for example, a whole new industrial park, and then attract a bunch of, you know, businesses that create jobs. And so we'll see if we can get to the point of knocking out the basic infrastructure that the community was aware of and when they voted yes, and if there's still funds left over to do some creative investment in new enterprises, then I think the Port Commission would consider that. But first things first for us, we got to fix what's broken.
Right. Is there anything happening out at the airport that you want to expand on, other than the fact there's a new runway out there? Is there anything else happening?
Yeah, well, the runway was a big deal, getting that done. We're dealing with a little problem right now out there with some asbestos siding on one of the port-owned hangars that I think has been out there since the 30s, was formerly owned by the military. So that's an ongoing issue. But otherwise, you know, we're working closely with the museum, with the restaurant, the Spruce Goose, and with our fixed base operator, and really trying to get a little more energy and excitement out at the airport. One of our problems that we're hoping to see a solution for with the help of the city in the not too distant future is the ability to connect pilots and their passengers to town. We really need an effective way for people to fly to Port Townsend. I'll fly to JCIA and then get to Port Townsend so they can spend the weekend. Huh. Right now it's tough to do.
That's a really good point. That and all the other great points you brought up have been really appreciated, Aaron. We're going to close here in a minute, but I'd like to thank you so much. And maybe we can check in with you again next year and get an update.
Yeah, anytime.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Happy to join you. Appreciate it.
Great. Thanks, Aaron. Thank you all for joining us. This is Aaron Barnett, and you've been listening to Coastal Cafe, a joint production of Washington Sea Grant of the University of Washington College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM. Washington Sea Grant helps people and marine life thrive by providing research, technical expertise, and education to support the conservation of our ocean and coastline. So I'd like to thank our program director, Larry Stein, and production engineer, Jared Dufresne, and as always, a special shout out to the band Ku Ich for sharing their music with us at the opening and closing of this program. Thank you for listening and have a great day.